From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, November 30th. Coming up, we'll learn about Map the Meal Gap, developed by a University of Illinois professor to track food insecurity rates across the country. His conversation with Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin is just ahead. But first, these headlines. Thousands of Illinoisans will cast their votes tomorrow in township caucus-style elections across the state. Hannah Meisel has more.
Illinois has nearly 1,400 townships, but not all of them elect township officials as Democrats and Republicans. The ones that do have caucuses. And this year, the caucus, even in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic. Political organizer Hannah Jubay helped coordinate one of the largest expected caucuses in Bloom Township in Chicago's south suburbs, but can then go back home and vote via Zoom.
We have to carry on in the world that we're in, unfortunately, and we have to figure out a way to operate, especially as it relates to ensuring that people have their right to caucus, at the same time ensuring their safety.
A judge earlier this fall rejected a lawsuit out of Bloom Township that sought to halt the caucus this year due to COVID. Some townships are holding full in-person caucuses, but others are pursuing online voting. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Like larger hospitals in Illinois, rural hospitals are having a hard time finding enough nurses, doctors, and other staff to treat an influx of COVID-19 patients. Pat Scow is executive director of the Illinois Critical Access Hospital Network, an association of more than 50 rural hospitals. She says the smaller hospitals are often at a disadvantage when it comes to hiring staff.
It's become a bidding war almost, and salaries have gone from an agency nurse instead of might be $50 an hour, it's $150 an hour. So, you know, there's some real challenges.
Scow says hospital leaders are focusing on being able to care for COVID-19 patients over the next 2 to 3 months as the surge continues, but they're also worried about the long-term financial fallout of the pandemic. About half the patients in small hospitals serving small towns and rural areas in Illinois are sick with COVID-19. The COVID-19 pandemic has been tough on in-person shopping, especially at small local businesses. Those are just the type of businesses hoping to grab shoppers' attention during a promotional event that starts tomorrow in Champaign. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
Xander Hazel with the Champaign Center Partnership says the downtown, midtown, and campus town areas were like a ghost town during the initial coronavirus lockdown last spring. He says things are better now, but local businesses are still missing much of their built-in customer base, nearby office workers.
Because a lot of folks that work in the office buildings can work from home, you're losing an audience of people that take advantage of happy hour or take advantage of sales.
To bring more shoppers to Champaign Center, about 17 businesses are offering discounts and sale items during the 20-day hometown holiday shop and stroll. Other features include a strolling Santa Claus. Since COVID-19 restrictions discourage the lines that would form for a sitting Santa, I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Public health officials in Illinois reported 57 more deaths from COVID-19 yesterday and more than 7,100 new cases, both confirmed and probable. There have been more than 720,000 COVID-19 cases in Illinois since the pandemic began. The 7-day statewide test positivity rate remains at 10.1% for the third day in a row. A week ago, it was 11.3%. The death toll is now nearly 12,200. Champaign County reported its 58th death related to COVID-19 yesterday. A woman in her 50s was the county's 30th COVID-19 death to occur in November. Champaign County reported 74 new cases. The number of active cases dropped below 1,000 for the first time in 2 weeks. Still to come, millions more Americans are facing food insecurity during the COVID-19 pandemic. We'll learn about a new data-driven map tracking food insecurity rates. That's next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, rates of food insecurity were lower than they had been in more than two decades, according to hunger relief nonprofit Feeding America. Now that trend is reversing, and millions more Americans are facing hunger this year due to loss of employment and reduced access to school meals. Feeding America tracks food insecurity rates across the country using Map the Meal Gap, a data-driven map developed by University of Illinois professor Craig Gunderson. Using that data, Gunderson recently published a study showing the effects of the pandemic on food insecurity rates around the country. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin spoke with Gunderson about the study, starting with his findings.
So as you might expect, as with COVID, is the impacts differ dramatically across the country. And before turning to the discussion about region, I want to emphasize one other key component of this is that the main impact of COVID has been on decreasing people's employment opportunities. And this is something that I think we really, I'm not going to take a position on the wisdom or non-wisdom of lockdowns. But one thing we have to remember is that it's the most vulnerable amongst us. In other words, those who are working in low-wage jobs who had to go to work and no longer can do so. So there's been a projected 6.6 percentage point increase in unemployment, which is a huge increase in unemployment, given that we were at record low rates of unemployment prior to COVID. So we predicted that. But it's just like the impacts of COVID haven't been similar across the population, same to it hasn't been consistent across regions. So for example, in parts of the country whereby you have large service sectors, is you're going to find much larger increases in food insecurity than in other areas. As an example is, you know, something like Clark County, which has Las Vegas and Nevada, or Atlantic County, which has Atlantic City and New Jersey, has sharp increases. And there's a lot of, for that matter, rural areas that are heavily dependent upon tourism. And, you know, the entire last summer, they lost out on, you know, basically a lot of business.
And what about here in Illinois? Did you notice any regional differences in food insecurity rates within the state?
There are some sharp disparities across our state over two main dimensions. The first is that in many of our southern counties in Illinois have much higher rates of food insecurity, and some of the counties around St. Louis also have higher rates of food insecurity. Okay. So that's the first thing I want to emphasize, is that we saw this variation by county. Another thing to point out, and I've been talking a lot about this recently, is that if you look at Cook County, which has a long history of segregation and racial discrimination, we looked at this, and what you see in Chicago, it's amazing, is that for all the zip codes that are 10 percentage points or higher than the average in Cook County, every single one of them is majority Black, every single one. And there's only a few majority of Black zip codes with lower than average food insecurity rates.
What do you think are some of the implications here of this study?
The first implication of this is areas that were already hard hit with high rates of food insecurity continue to see high rates of food insecurity. So in that sense, that hasn't changed. It's still the case is that, you know, I think Mississippi, I think if I recall correctly, has the highest rate of food insecurity in the United States. It has the highest rate after COVID. The second implication, and something I've been saying more and more when I'm giving interviews for different groups, is this solution to these problems are easy. I mean, we have this incredible program called Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, formerly known as the Food Stamp Program. And others and myself have written so many papers about, you know, that if we were to A, increase the maximum benefit level to individuals, and B, expand eligibility into the program, we could see huge reductions in food insecurity across our country. So, you know, on the one implication from all this I keep on saying is this is, you know, there are some challenges that we face in our society, you know, finding a vaccine for COVID or something. Well, there's an easy solution to food insecurity in our society, expand SNAP in terms of eligibility and benefit level. So that's this implication that we're talking a lot more about lately. I really think that if we have the will to address food insecurity in the United States, it's an easy solution.
That's Illinois Newsroom reporter Dana Cronin talking with U of I professor Craig Gunderson about his research on food insecurity across the country. And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says cloudy, breezy, and colder today. We could see a few snow flurries with a high of 36 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Mary Hansen, Jim Meadows, and Dana Cronin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.